The faith that you just spoke will be tested. Don't be surprised, that'll be tested. You'll find yourself in a place of not having much, and God will say, it will bring this time to remembrance to you. He says, do you believe me still? Do you still believe me? Okay? There'll be times in your life when you're going to, that God will bring this back to you. And he does that. He'll bring his word back. He'll bring moments back in your past. And he'll remind you of things and times. Yeah, Caleb.
What's faith?
What's what?
Faith.
Faith. Is the substance of things hoped for? Faith. Right now you're sitting in that chair. Right? Are you scared that it's going to break?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
There's something about this that you just know that it's going to hold you up. You're demonstrating faith by sitting on it. You didn't go like this, Caleb. You didn't go when you were sitting down. Is this going to hold me up? All right, you weren't freaking out. You weren't like, is everybody else doing okay over there in their chairs? There's something about this that's solid that you believe in, and you're not even aware of it. You didn't even think about it. You just sat right down on it, and God wants you to have that in him. That you don't even, you know, can I trust God today? Is he going to zap me today? Is he going to trip me up? Is there a cord in the aisle I'm going to trip over because he's a naughty God? No, he's a God that's a loving God. We can trust and we can rest in that, just like you're resting in this. And it's a rest, not a rust. It's a rest. Amen. The world and the flesh and the devil has the rust part. Does that make sense, buddy? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Just finishing up chapter 2. Thank you for your word, Father. We pray that you would be glorified in it. So Paul is conveying that he didn't come with the power of the enticing words of the Greeks that were all around him in Corinth, a very rich area, the Las Vegas of Greece, very popular. You'd have speakers come all the time. And I think now in our country we have this thing called TED or something like that.
TED Talks,
yeah. And so these are very intellectual type of conversations, and they're interesting to listen to. I'm not condemning them. There's some good stuff in there. But that was really what was happening there. A very well-educated country like ours, very well enriched with goods and prosperity like ours. He says, I didn't come with any of that. I'm not coming in that groove. I'm coming with the power of God, the simplicity. And he said, I'm going to get right down to it, folks. It's the cross of Jesus Christ, okay? Let's get all this fluffernutter of I follow this person and that person and this stuff. And let's get right down to where the power is. Let me show you where the receptacle is so you can plug in. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you afraid at night? Plug into Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I'm not afraid anymore because I don't have to be. You're with me. You are with me. That's plugging into Jesus Christ. And Paul came with that. Not the wisdom of words, he says, but of power and spirit. So I think we came all the way up to... Let's start in verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Can we really know each other? Yeah, I think I know this person. I think I know that. Do you really? Do you really know them? Save the spirit of a man which is in him. That's the most inner part. To really know that inner part of someone. Proverbs talks about it as a deep well. A wise person draws those things out. That's a good counselor. That's a good brother and sister in Christ. It's to draw things out of the well. Draw things out. Lower the bucket in. How do you do that? It ain't by using this. It's by using the two antennas that God has given you, these two radar collectors, these two sound wave collectors right here. Everybody got two on here?
Yep.
Nobody got them chopped off? These two sound collectors, all right? Those are the buckets that go down. Those are the buckets that go down and they transcend into the well of his spirit and the mind of someone. Get to know people that way by listening. Be a good counselor. Be a good brother. Be a good sister. Listen. Let them pour their heart out. Don't let them be afraid like, oh, well, this is how you fix that. This is how you do that. And you're just gonna whitewash everything they say, or you're going to minimize the hurt that they have in their life, and you know, by throwing something cavalier out, even a Bible verse that is half-hearted. You know, really listen and start loving that person. Okay, then allow the tongue to move and be a tree of life and to heal. Amen. Now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. He's going to talk about how do we can hardly know each other. How do we even know God? How do we know this God that's so powerful? Now that we've received the spirit of the world, that's the answer. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. One of the aspects of knowing God is the gifts that he has for each one of us. And that not only tells us about the gifts of him, but it tells us about him. Why would you give me this gift, God? Why would you want me to have a word of knowledge, a gift of tongue, gift of healing, a gift of teaching, a gift of mercy, a gift of government, a gift of administration, a gift of helps, as was discussed earlier, about helping people and reaching the poor? Why would you do that? Because it's a reflection of you. We had a full harvest moon on Friday night. Beautiful. We didn't plan that. We didn't say, okay, let's plan that on the harvest moon and have a, you know, just beautiful night. It's a beautiful night. But that, you look up there, everybody's saying, wow, what a beautiful moon. No, it isn't. That thing's a dead, cold, dusty rock. Mm-hmm. There's nothing beautiful about it. What makes it beautiful is what?
The light.
The light? It doesn't have any light. What light are you talking about? The moon doesn't have any light. It's from the sun, right? Very good. All right, so what if the moon started taking glory for itself and say, look at me, I'm radiating God. And you know, look at me, look at me, look at me. And that's what people are doing. Look at the moon, look at the moon. The moon really should be pointing to the sun. We're to be moons in that sense. We are vessels, they're just clay vessels, just rocks, dust, and we radiate. Simeon, you got some?
I don't know, something God's just been showing me and revealing to me today. But like how you were saying, and the more that moon turns and exposes its cold self, in a way, the more God is glorified through there.
Wow,
kind of like
praise
how,
God.
And John Hart says, you know, confess your sins one to another and I will, you know, cleanse you from all righteousness. How God doesn't call us, there's none righteous, no, not one. How he just calls us to be real and open and honest with our filth and who we are, that he would be glorified through us, you know. And I just kind of seen that in the moon as it turns. Not that it's being more full and beautiful, like you said, it's cold, but it's showing that the more of itself, that God would be shine more and more. His grace is become even more of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Big time. Keep going. You got more. That's very good. Oh, wow. Give me, making me tremble up here. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We speak of these things in verse 13, as Simeon just did. We talk about these things. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Talking about the radiance, we're talking about the power of God, we're talking about the glory of God. And we understand these things by comparing, and we move forward in these things by not just comparing to earthly things and physical things, but we go forward by comparing spiritual things to spiritual. The Word of God comparing to the Word of God is a great thought to come from that. Spiritual things, the Word of God is spiritual. You know, you take something out of the Word of God and then you can bring more Word of God into that and surround that and gain more understanding through that. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You could even take the first experience with the low-hanging fruit of God, which is the peace of God, your salvation. You entered into a place of rest, as Caleb is resting in this seat right now. He's trusting that it's holding him up. You entered in that place of rest with Christ, and you trusted him, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, it's not me. It's not what I do. It's not what I did. It's what he did. And all of these things, and it produces rest. And something comes over you called peace. Not everything's figured out in your life. You're not sure what tomorrow brings. Not all the issues are resolved. But you have this peace. You got this peace from God. That's the low-hanging fruit. That's our first experience of the Holy Spirit, is the peace of God. That experience. I'm going to call on you in a second here, Caleb. Let me finish a sentence here. That experience of that peace of God, that's something spiritual. You will experience that throughout your walk with God. As you received Him, so walk in it. You will experience the peace of God throughout your life, and you know this is something of God. This thought, this idea, it produces rest. I sense your presence in this, God. And if there's unrest, there's frustration, it's like, okay, let's commit it to prayer. Let's take it back, as Tina read about, let's take it to the warriors. Let's take it to the counselor. All right, let's talk about it. Let's pray through this. Let's understand what's happening here. And so we can sense this fruit of the Spirit. There's peace about this. So that's comparing something spiritual with spiritual. Your salvation with your walk, you know, continuing forward. As you received Him, you're walking in it. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Caleb, do you have a thought, or did you lose it because I talked too long?
Dusty rock.
There's a song about a dusty rock?
Like the moon. Is the sun a dusty rock?
Oh, is the sun, I thought you said song as in singing. Is the sun a dusty rock? It is, believe it or not, you can believe it because it's the truth. It is simply gas. There's two different gases in there, primarily. There's probably a few mixture of things, but hydrogen, helium, and so that's a gas, like
a star.
When you blow up a balloon, you're blowing air in there. Air is a gas, so it's just like air. The sun is just a gas. Isn't that crazy? It's a million times bigger than the Earth. And then there's suns that are much bigger than that. They're much bigger. We could fit our sun as a tiny dot in those suns. And God just does it because He's powerful. He's awesome. And He's glory.
Jupiter?
What about it?
Isn't it the biggest planet?
Is Jupiter the biggest planet? Anybody know? I think it's getting there. If not, this. Yeah.
In our solar system.
In our solar system. All right, Seth weighed in on that. In the panel of wisdom back there. Okay. But the natural man in verse 14 receives not the things of the Spirit of God. You're trying to communicate things to someone that hasn't saved yet, he hasn't tasted that low-hanging fruit of the peace of God, he hasn't been saved, or she hasn't been saved, they are going to think what you're saying is foolishness. It's silly. All right, so don't be surprised. Don't feel like, wow, they didn't just like grab a hold of this gospel that I'm telling them. They might think, that's just silly. You believe that, it's fine for you. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for it is foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Until that spark goes off, until the entrance of the Holy Spirit, until that happens, that revelation of God, it's going to be foolishness. It's going to be something that's just carnally grasped. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This particular message came during the tent meeting. I wasn't sure if it was going to be for today or if it was for that, but it was confirmed two different ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? How many people are instructing God? How many people have made a judgment against God and are saying, God, you should do it this way? If I were you, this is how I would do it. Just let me help you out here with a little advice from me. Even though I was in diapers 50 years ago. And I'm pretty much just new on this earth. But, you know, I've learned a lot. And I know you're the Creator, but I just want to help you out here a little bit with my wisdom. My ultimate wisdom. That's an awesome question. I like that. It's a humbling question. Who has known the mind of the Lord that ye may instruct him? So our purpose of knowing God is that not to instruct him. It's to be blown away and to be humbled and to be fall into this place of being part of who he is, his bride. So it's not to instruct him. It's not to instruct others in what the opinion of God is for their life. But we have the mind of Christ. It's to be used in a different way. And he's going to get into that. So the mind of Christ isn't to bring us into division, as what's happening here in Corinth. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. I'm of Cephas. I'm of all the... I'm of Paul. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Notice he's relating carnal to being a babe in Christ. So a lot of a babe in Christ, a lot of somebody that's a new believer, there's going to be a lot of carnality there. That doesn't mean they're not saved. That doesn't mean it didn't work. It doesn't mean it didn't take. The sad thing is that when you're a babe in Christ and it's 50 years later, you know, that you received God, that there was no spiritual food happening, there was no feeding, there was no growth. And so there's a kind of a stunted thing happening there. And it somewhat is happening here in Corinth. Because he said, it should have been, you guys should be past this point by now. I desired to give you meat, but you still needed milk. You're still carnal. Very much so. But they were born again. They're born again. So there's the question pops up, is this lukewarm then? Is a babe in Christ lukewarm? And is there such thing as a lukewarm Christian? What's this babe in Christ versus the lukewarm Christian? That's the $60 million question I have for you guys today. Really putting you on the spot. And the answer isn't Jesus, okay? Or the Bible, all right. That's the 99%. It is Jesus, of course. But I want a more specific thought put together with it.
Compromise.
Lukewarm Christian is living in compromise, if there is such a thing. Okay. Do you think there is? So do people agree there is a difference between the lukewarm, what God is going to spew out of his mouth one day, and a babe in Christ?
Can you be lukewarm and still be a Christian?
We won't get into that too much right here, but right now we'll talk about the difference, because we know we want to identify what a lukewarm Christian is, because we don't want to be that. Whatever it is, whatever that means, I don't want to get too technical. We know that it's going to be ultimately you're going to be spewn out of the mouth of God. That's not a good thing. All right, so that's a horrible thing. Okay, that's kind of what she was saying with compromise, that there's that worldliness. And how would you contrast that to, how would a baby believer be then, a carnal Christian, a carnal new believer, baby Christian? You are as babes.
I would say a baby Christian doesn't have all the knowledge of God that is necessary. They have the milk, they don't have the meat. And a lukewarm Christian has an understanding of what the Bible says, but chooses not to do it. It's a decision.
Okay.
So maybe someone that could, I don't know, that's maybe a lot like that, going in the church, putting in their time, never in tune and in touch with the Holy Spirit. It's just a not work thing. You know, everyone looks at them like, oh, they got their stuff together, they're holding the job down, but never really in touch with that spiritual realm. Not really doing the works of God, not really loving others as he loved.
That they talk, they know what the knowledge of God, they just don't use it.
There you go.
Okay. All right. So that's maturity, where a babe in Christ is just, well, let's fill my head with knowledge, and I've got opinions about everything. And you could sound like a mature Christian. I know some mature Christians that they're just still in the diapers. They're still, they haven't got out of the crib, and their heads are, you know, like a baby has a real big head. They've got a lot of brains there, but not, you know, just not putting it to use. Not putting it to use. Let's continue though. Let's keep moving through here. It's certainly addressed in chapter 3 more about what that carnality looked like. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So they're still babes. He's still addressing them as babes. Now he's going to talk about why he's putting that label on them. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? So the big issue here is all kinds of division, all kinds of strife. So I follow this guy, I follow that guy. That person's more appealing to me. All right, we're going to get more, a little more intense with the question here, a little more personal. This is going to be interesting to hear this one. So, the tent revival on Friday night. People are invited, come as you are, and they certainly did. And here's our purpose for being here. When you hear something, this is really important, this particular topic, and we might not leave this topic today and go further than this, because this is extremely important. This is the root of all the divisions that were happening in Corinth. This is carnality in the church. This is carnality in us that we have to deal with right now. I can guarantee you there were things that happened in the tent that you struggled with, that you struggled with. And my challenge to you is, did you struggle in the flesh, or was it a struggle truly because of the Spirit of God that dwells within you being offended? Now, there was a lot of great stuff that happened in the tent. The majority of it. Okay? A lot of great stuff, and I could talk an hour on the stuff that is just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. You guys know who Sean is. Both Seans were, God used that night. But you remember Sean giving testimony about his son and the accident? That was the anniversary. Again, we didn't plan this. We didn't plan the moon. We didn't plan the anniversary of the accident where he lost his son. But he knew when he was there that God was calling him there to be there that night, and maybe to even share from it.
And to let him know that his son's safe.
Yeah. God was using the whole body of Christ that night. What an amazing thing, though, that when... Here's the carnal thing and the spiritual thing. Hold on there, Caleb. I'm going to try to finish this. I only got two brain cells left. So. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen for Caleb's eagerness to be part of this. When Scott, who was on fire, is like, he was going to go to the dome with the people. And this keeps getting bigger every time I'm trying to back up and get a starting point here. And Maddie was at the fire at night, and Greg said, "Hey, how be good job? Encourage me. You know, it's setting up and whatever." And she said, "Good job, Maddie." And Maddie said, "I didn't do anything." And I said, "Yeah, you did. You know, you did a lot of things, actually. But the configuration of the seats, that's not something I can do. I have no clue. If it would look ridiculous if I did it. He has a gift for that. And that gift was used and connected. That spiritual gift was used to connect with somebody else that was spiritual. His name was Scott. He saw that Facebook post. He was going to go to Syracuse. He was going to go to the big tent event in Syracuse. The big tent, what was it called?
Worship the King.
Worship the King. Big. Awesome. And many people went there. And that was their group who was going to go there. And he saw the configuration of the chairs and says, that is where God wants us to be. That was it. Just something, that spiritual connection. Somebody in the spirit setting something up. Yielded to God, and then someone yielded to God, say, what are we going to do tonight, making that decision? That's how it works. It's so simple. God puts these things together, and God does it, and it's to His glory. We are simply moons and vessels. Back to Sean. When Scott got up and said, hey, just use your gift. Use your gift. Don't be afraid. Use your gift. Use your gift. In encouraging people, he shared from his testimony of how he went through things and how God pulled him out of darkness, broke the chains and all of this. And he said, there might have been something, and this is where it sounded weird to me. He said, you might have lost the son. And then that didn't happen to me, but if you did, or something like that, and it's just like, what? Yeah. He said, I don't even know if he was aware that what he was saying, because it was just, it sounded awkward, and it hit me, it hit my flesh like that didn't flow with how he was talking. So I had that grid on of my carnality, my flesh receiving things and processing things, my understanding, and then the Spirit of God that dwells within. The Spirit of God was able to perceive and to receive that, but in the process of time. Not immediately. I thought that was just a weird example. I judged it in the flesh right off the beginning, but it was completely God. It was completely God. And that's what I want you guys to think about. This is the basis of what's happening at Corinth. They're making judgments in the flesh, and there's all sorts of division happening. There's all sorts of nitpicking going on. This is what I'm doing, and this is my opinion, and this is who I'm following. If I wasn't in the flesh, I might have noticed Sean, who did lose his son in a car accident, and he was the one driving, and...
No.
Was it a...
He was crossing the street, and somebody hit them. It was already at night.
They weren't in a vehicle at all?
I thought they was crossing.
Okay.
Was he driving?
No.
Either way.
He's driving, yeah.
Okay. All right, so there was an accident. He lost his son, okay. If I wasn't in the flesh there and I was just like, okay, is this guy, I'm judging, I would have been a shepherd noticing that one of the sheep just took off crying. Just took off, totally blown away by what somebody just said. Struck him right in the heart. He had to go find a place where he could just get his faculties together. And he was just coming undone. Unraveling because he was, it was all real again. Everything was happening. This is the night. And that guy just said that. What's going on, God? What's going on? And so he's coming to grips with healing. He's coming to grips with something that needs to be dealt with. And I'm there judging in carnality. That wasn't quite in the flow there of what you're talking about. I'm making a carnal judgment. That's a simple example. It's a silly example, but it's something that we need to understand and get a hold of here. That there's the judgment that we're not called to is a carnal judgment. The judgment we're called to is a spiritual one. We are to judge all things, but it's a spiritual judgment. It's a humility. It's a standing back that you're completely not there. It's just, God, this is about you. This is about you, God. God, just use me. Use me as what for whatever you called me to be here to share and to bring glory to you. It's not about me and having a pretty little tent revival meeting that's energized and emotional. It's not about having a success and a pat on the back. This is about you, God. And I want to yield to you, Lord, and what you're doing here right now. Even if it doesn't make sense and it doesn't flow according to the grid of my physiology and my psychology and my understanding of things. So later on, those that were able to experience that and come back, the different people of the body got around him. James, you were one of them a little bit later, but people during that time of him coming undone were able to say, you need to share what's going on in your heart. And that's when he came right up to the front of the tent, and boom. The words not of men's wisdom. And he kept saying, this is another thing of God. I wish my wife was here. His wife, she can talk. She can convey it. She can express it. She can tell the story in great detail. And you know, it's wonderful. She has the gift of doing that. But God wanted him to do that and removed her for just temporarily. She came back later because he needed to do that. He needed to have a healing. And just blubber it out, get it out, and start talking. And start, you know, little pieces were coming out. I understood the whole story, so I understood what he was saying, but maybe people here didn't. But he was just getting it out, and people were coming around him and loving on him. James, you were right there. The other Sean was right there. And people were loving him. Folks, that's it. That was it. Something I judged carnally was something beautiful. It was a gem. It's precious. Something that's going to last forever. That the angels are rejoicing over. That we're going to be talking about forever. That was a move of the Spirit. And there's a bigger one coming. There's a bigger one coming, which is, I can't imagine something even bigger than that. God is huge. He is awesome. I promise Caleb next. Amen. Who named the moon? It says God has named all the stars. He's named all the planets, so that would include the moon. So he has a name for it. I don't know if he calls it moon, though. Yeah, good question. Mark, you got to help out here. You're used to all these questions. The real hard one. James.
When you talk about it, you can't imagine something bigger. I can. When God's coming down,
turns
all back up to heaven.
Amen.
There you go. Second coming. There'll be nothing like it. Stay tuned.
I can imagine something bigger.
There you go. Try it.
The stairs of heaven.
The stairs of heaven? Okay. Angels coming down? Pretty cool. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? We stand in a land that is so divided. The Christian church is perfectly divided in a sense of, you know, from the enemy's standpoint. It's so broken up. There's a desire that you saw, we witnessed Friday night, that the church gathers together and goes to battle. Joins together, be knit together again. While one says, I am of Paul, and another of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? Who are these guys? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gives to every man. And here's what he means. I've planted, that's Paul speaking, an apostle. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Key verse. Key understanding. This helps us, again, shrink back. Us decrease and he increases. We shrink into this. We find life in this. We die in this. There's so many truths in here. There's so much scripture in here that we just die in. And we find life in. We're buried in this. And we're baptized in the verses, literally. You can think of a baptism every time you read of a verse. I'm going to die in that verse, God. I'm going to find life in that. That is, my flesh is going to die in that. And I'm going to raise up in this new truth here. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's not up to us. It's not up to us to shove them, shove the dove. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Shove them into the kingdom of God. We plant, we water. We plant, we water. God causes the growth. You don't have to dig up the dirt to see if the seed sprouted. You don't have to disturb the soil. That's where trust comes in. If you're gardeners, you know what I'm talking about. Is it going to sprout or what? Is it going to come up? Plant and water. Plant and water. Plant and water. And trust that God will give the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Do you sense that you could die in that verse? I am nothing, God. Yeah, this happens and this happens, and I'm trying to reach this person and that person, but essentially I'm nothing. It's you, God, that gives the increase. Nothing is possible without you, God. All things are possible with you. Neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Die in that verse. Die in it. Be crucified in that. In that truth of God. It's a beautiful death. It's a beautiful death. You can think of it more like rest. You rehearse life every day. You're born into the new reality of the day, and you go through the day, and it's ups and downs, and you rest at the end. You've been rehearsing it all your life. You've been rehearsing your life. It's all in little chunks, little pictures. I invite you, and that's the invitation today, is to die right in the Word of God. Let your flesh be crucified by the power of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's His Word that divides. It's a sword. It's a powerful sword. It divides flesh from spirit. Do you feel that this morning? I don't want to carnally judge anymore, God. I want to be open to what's going on. I was going to talk about the lady that, when I wasn't there, what happened. If somebody does want to talk about that now, we can. She was talking about you guys being eagles or turkeys or something like that. And she was yelling at people to get them to do something. I don't know.
I was saying that she would choose, I don't know if she would make up a song.
Okay.
I mean, I thought I saw the presence there. The word she was saying, I don't know if she was reading it off the paper or the... Literally, God was calling me to say these things. And I was thinking, man, she's got a gift.
All right.
She's making sense when she's singing about the Lord.
Okay.
And I felt the presence there.
Okay. There were some things that not everybody felt that, and that's the thing we need to work on. And the Word of God is that grid. And it's the God of the Word, too. It's not just the Bible and the words that are in here. It's the God of the Word, the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. We need to be lamplighters. We need to have that lamp lit and allow everything to pass through that, not the fleshly grid. Go immediately to prayer. Go immediately to prayer when there's a situation like that. And it's like, this doesn't seem right. Okay? Don't immediately think it's a spiritual discernment and that you're that far, you've arrived. Believe me, you haven't. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? You still have flesh, it's still breathing, it's still moving. Go to prayer. Have the humility to go to prayer, and you will know that there is more than just one that are praying. That if there's something going on that isn't glorifying God, that's how we're going to defeat it. Let's tie together in prayer. And then you might see somebody rise up. You might see me stand up and stand next to that person gently. You know, if it is discerned that it isn't something of God. All right, so we have to be prepared for that, because we're opening wide up and saying, come. So praise God. Let's be wise as serpent and innocent doves. Caleb, you can have the last thought today.
Is God bigger than the whole earth?
Yes, he is. Amen. Let's remember that. Thank you, Jesus. God is bigger than the whole earth. Amen. Let's praise him together. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of God, it's his word that divides. It's a sword. It's a powerful sword. Divides flesh from spirit.